Welcome to the Temple of Geek podcast. My name is Kari, and I will be your host as we share our thoughts on the American Society of Magical Negroes. If you haven't watched the movie, save this episode for later and come back because there are going to be spoilers. If this is your first time tuning into the Temple of Geek podcast, welcome. The Temple of Geek podcast has been around since 2012 and is hosted by various geeks from the Temple of Geek team. Here we cover all manner of geek and pop culture news and events. To our returning listeners, thank you again for tuning in. We really appreciate your being here. And I want to welcome our guest. With me today is Natasha. Welcome back to the podcast,
yes.
Natasha.
Yes.
Happy to have you here again. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a minute. It's been a minute. No, I'm so happy to be here. I'm so glad that you guys invited me to come back specifically to talk about this movie because I have so much to say.
Yes.
But yeah,
yes.
I'm so happy to be here.
I'm very excited. So can you briefly introduce yourself to our listeners and tell them a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So my name is Natasha. I am a non-binary femme, Black femme in primarily the Star Wars community, but I definitely love film, TV, music, all the things. So on social media, I love to talk about like different, like important, like cultural, like touch points and things like that. And just goofy little silly things too. So yeah, you can find me in all the social media apps talking about all the things.
Okay, where can they find you and under what handle?
Oh, yeah. I think Twitter is probably best. That's where I'm most active these days. Yeah, you can find me under NKNAPPER. And right now, I'm truly in my acolyte era. So that's probably going to be primarily what you're going to hear me talking about for the next few months.
Okay, yeah. Awesome. Great. So we are here to discuss American Society. It was something to watch.
Yep, it was.
I'm going to start. Listen, so before we get into the deep dives and all the juicy stuff, what were your initial thoughts of the movie?
Okay, so I will keep this pretty high level. I will say that I went into the movie trying to have some pretty measured expectations and tried to go in being like, all right, let me try to wipe from my mind all the things that people have been saying about this movie on the internet and just like go in with like good intentions and like all that sort of stuff, right? I will just say that I think this movie missed the mark quite a bit in terms of what it was actually trying to say and do. And at different points in this movie, which again, we'll get into more later, I was curious what this movie was even, you know, trying to say. Who was the audience for this movie was something I just kept asking myself. I think it had kind of like cute rom-com moments. As a rom-com lover, you know, you're always going to get me with that. But for the most part, yeah, I felt pretty underwhelmed. I think that's maybe the best word to describe my feelings.
Yeah, I think, I hadn't read anything about the movie. I had, you know, just little commentaries here and there, but I was trying not to like read too much about it or, you know, even, you know, of reviews or anything, because I wanted to go in like, okay, it's going to be just fresh, whatever it is. But I did have the expectation that it was going to be a fantasy movie that I really thought because of the name. I was like, oh my God, we're getting a fantasy movie, you know? And then I'm like, to my surprise, I was like, oh, this is like a social commentary movie. It has nothing, you know, they just put the magical part in there just to like make it a little bit different than what it any type of other social conscious movies might be. But I was like, oh, okay. I'm like, I felt like the movie kind of was a little bit, for 2024, it missed its mark. It was kind of too late to kind of, you know, really have an impact. Like if that would have been done a few years ago, I think it would have had a bigger impact with what they were trying to say. But yeah, it was like you said, it was a little bit underwhelming. I mean, some of the jokes landed, you know, there was some pretty, you know, it was pretty funny moments and stuff. But like the overall, I guess, message that they were trying to do, I was like, oh, like,
we're past
this
that.
Has been done. Like, yeah. This yeah. has been done yeah. already many times. And then I felt like them magic, yeah, I was like, were they just trying to add the magical part just to like kind of stand out and seem like it was different approach? I was like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think like that is so, that's so true. And, you know, again, we'll talk more about this when we get like deeper into it, but the magical Negro title, I can absolutely see what they were going for, because like that is like a film trope that exists. Mm-hmm. But I think mm-hmm. my problem is like, that's not accessible to like the everyday person, you know what I mean? Like, to me, yeah. I feel like when you make these kinds of movies and you're trying to make these like this kind of commentary, you have to make an attempt to make it so it's accessible to a broad audience of people. So people that are going in there, the title of the movie is so important because that's what mm-hmm. grounds people in. I understand what I'm watching and what I'm coming into, at least to some degree. And like, mm-hmm. yeah, even if they were going to like dig into like the trope, which is like what they're obviously the movie was like really focused on doing, I was like, you still could have had some more elements of fantasy in this than this. It was just, yeah, I don't know.
That's what exactly. Yeah. I mean, if they were going to do fantasy, they could have gone for yeah. at least, you know, to like really at least stand out in that way.
Yeah.
But it felt like I guess the fantasy part was always supposed to be secondary to what the real real motive of the movie was,
yep.
which is fine. But again, we come in with this expectation and it's just like not at all what we were kind of expecting and stuff, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Well, okay, so before we like delve more into like, you know, the more juicy stuff, is there anything that you did like about the movie? There was anything any positives for you?
Yeah. Okay, I really want to make clear, I did not hate this movie. I mm-hmm. think like the problem is like the movie just felt very kind of blah. But if I had to say anything, I would say the character, I feel like there were like cute moments between Aaron and Lizzie, like the two sort mm-hmm. of like, you know, the love interest couple, yeah, you know, of the film. I felt like they had like cute moments. I felt like Lizzie just has like a lot of that actress. I think her name is An Lee Bogan. She just has like good, how do I say this? Like good kind of camera chemistry. Like I really enjoyed like whenever she was like on screen and stuff. So I thought mm-hmm. she was really good. I think Aaron, the actor Justin Smith, I think he did a good job at what he was instructed to do, even if it was very frustrating to watch. Yeah. Like, and I feel like for people who maybe, and I want to have space for people who are maybe watching this film and like, genuinely aren't kind of engaged in this sort of like social thinking, like mm-hmm. maybe this movie could be a very early entry point into like thinking about like racial dynamics and things like that.
Yeah.
Again, I feel like in our Lord's year 2024, not really sure if that's like that, like we need that basic like a starting point. But yeah, I think that like as an entry point, it could be something that could like get people thinking about like, oh,
yeah,
I hadn't thought about it this way, you know, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think that might be it for me.
I think probably my favorite part was the rom-com part.
Yeah.
Lizzie, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it was cute, you know, how they were, like, trying to get to, like, it felt very just typical rom-com movie, you know? And which is crazy because it's like, that's not supposed to be like the standout thing about the movie, you know?
It shouldn't have been.
And, it shouldn't have been, yes.
And I would almost argue, and again, I know we're not there yet, I would almost argue the like ending of the movie almost undoes a lot of like what they were doing with the rom-com bit, like for me, because I was just like, so was this all like an act?
That's I was like, wait, was she just trying to get with Aaron? Because
of this?
He's the guy and she has to like pacify the guy in her workspace? Like, what? I was like, okay, so then where's the love? Where's the love story? Where's my love story that at least I was enjoying, you know?
I could not believe it. I was like, the one thing I actually kind of liked. They were just like, by the end, they were like, no, it was pretty much fake. I was like, what in the world? Anyway, yeah.
But
But the rom-com, like, it was cute. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I did enjoy it. And then until, again, like you said, the last part, I was like, oh. Well, there goes my story. Oh my gosh. All right, so let's delve more a little bit more into the commentary that they were trying to bring out, that, you know, even what did you think was it that they were trying to really convey in this story?
I mean, that's such a great question. I would love to sit in a room with this filmmaker and ask a lot of questions about what. So, okay. I feel like what was clear was they were trying to make commentary about white fragility and the way mm-hmm. that white fragility shows up in really like violent and harmful ways to Black people in American society. That was clearly the gist of what they were just trying to mm-hmm. like demonstrate. I think yeah. what tripped me up during the whole movie was, what is it that you're actually wanting people to do from this, though? Because at the end of this movie, there were really no consequences for any white people in this movie at all. Like none. So, mm-hmm. and it felt like the end of the movie was positing that the way to sort of start solving problems of white fragility and racism is simply explaining to white people, like, that, you know, hey, sometimes you do things that are harmful to Black people. And like, yeah. white people will just be like, you got a good point.
Like, yeah, it's very easy, you know, conversation to have. Like, it's
yeah,
okay,
like, it no, like it's no big yeah. deal, you know? And I think, again, I understand. I take myself out of the space of this being reality. I understand that this is like a semi-fantasy like movie, and it's not necessarily fully rooted in our reality. And I have to remember that mm-hmm. sometimes when I go and watch movies, right? But yes. I think that whole big part at the end where Aaron is confronting that guy at work mm-hmm. on stage, and like he gives the big speech about like, you know, how he deserves to be here, all of the ways that like white fragility have like been harmful, like all mm-hmm. these things, and the guy's kind of being dismissive at first and then like being like, oh, I'm not racist
yeah.
And like, you know, I think at the start of that conversation, I could see what they were going for there. And it did, there was something actually, if I had to say another positive, there was something good about like watching Aaron actually like come out and like show his anger and mm-hmm. allow himself to be angry and not be embarrassed yeah. or ashamed of his anger. And I feel like that was great. Like, it was like that, I think that was like a nice moment, but kind of towards the end of it, like this guy was just like, oh, I didn't know that. And like that just seemed to resolve everything. And I was just yeah, like, so yeah, yeah. what now?
like what happened after that? Like you said, what were the consequences?
Did anything happen to this company? Did this guy just get to keep his job? Like, and maybe that's like not the point, but I just don't find it enjoyable to watch a film that like focuses so much on white fragility, but like doesn't challenge white people to be like, there are consequences to the way that you show up in the world. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was all about like how white people, or I'm sorry, how black people show up in relation to white fragility, if that makes sense. Like it just, it was just like the movie, I don't think the movie was intending to do this, but it was centering whiteness in a way that I was just like,
yeah. I kind of felt like they were making it palpable for the white audience that was watching, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it was like, we're explaining this to you, A, B, C, for the people that are watching. This is how it goes. I'm like, and then, like you said, I had to, like, get myself a little bit out of, like, this is not the this is just a movie. I can't take this as a reality because I already know that if somebody, if Aaron would have said that in the real world, it would have been chaos. It would have been, oh my God, this angry black man.
Oh, security would have, you know, he would have gotten three words out before security forcibly removed him out of that place.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I was like, okay, no, I was like, that's not how it happens in real life, but okay, it's a movie. It's fine. let me get out of this mind space. But I feel like they were really catering towards, you know, the white audience in that way of like, okay, we're giving it to you in a palpable manner, you know, in a way that you can understand, and not like, we're not like kind of like in your face and throwing it in an angry way, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. They definitely were treating the white audience with kid gloves. And, you know, I think even in the sense that one, you never see Aaron interacting with a single other black person in that workplace. And you see at one point that there are like three or four black people that work there at some point. You never see him interact with them in any way. So that's like one thing that bothered me throughout the whole movie. I was just like, so how is this resonating for other black people? You never see Aaron interacting, quite frankly, outside of the magical Negroes. You never see Aaron interacting with another black person, period, anywhere, actually. Yeah. So I was just like, who are his friends? Who are his people? Like, he mentions at one point, like, just as a side comment, having a white mom, but like, that means you have a black dad somewhere. Why are you not bringing this person up at all? Like, where's your family? You just never see him interact with any other people in the world. And I was just like, who is this person? what outside of his sort of art community, if you even want to call it a community, he just didn't really have people at all. So I just, even with the main character, you only understand him through his relationship to whiteness and the white side of his identity and all of that internalized stuff. But you don't get any sense to his relationship with like black people or the black community.
Yeah.
So yeah, I thought that was very odd.
Yeah, because I understand that, you know, they were trying to say how he had to internalize everything because, oh, you know, I don't want to cause myself problems because of the color of my skin and stuff. But then how was that relationship with the black community? How was that affecting his relationship with, you know, anyone else around him that was black, you know, him acting that way and them seeing him acting that way, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It felt like, I think like maybe they were trying to say that he was just like very like folded into himself, very scared of the world as a whole. I mean, they were centering it on whiteness specifically, and I understand that because that's sort of, again, the point of the movie. But I think it would have been important for them to show how that like impacted his relationship with his own like Black community as well. But mm-hmm. yeah, the movie was just very uninterested in exploring any of that. We didn't even really. Yeah. And like why I feel like this movie just feels so much for like a white audience is like, even within the magical Negro world, it would have been so cool for them, for us to get to know any of the people in that space. Like outside mm-hmm. of Roger, we don't really get to know any of the dynamics inside there. Why did other people decide to join, you know, the Magical Negroes group? Why?
Yeah.
What other kind of trauma are other people holding, you know, that could have been talked about? I just felt like it was, even calling it like, even centering this movie title around Magical Negroes annoyed me, because they mm-hmm. actually played such a small part in this movie. Like mm-hmm. that group of people played such a small part in the movie. But yeah, it's just like, you know, we get Roger, we get that one woman who got kicked out.
Yeah.
And we got like the, I don't know, the queen or the president of the Magical Negroes. And like, that's it. Like, I don't even think anyone else even had names. It was just like a bunch of...
It was just like random, you know, characters that they just placed like, oh, this is how, what kind of like what is done here, but that was it.
Yep.
And I think one of the things like I think they missed the mark on too when it comes to the society was, you know, the Black community is very big on being a community and mm-hmm. helping each other out mm-hmm. because they have that common, you know, thing where they have to deal with the same things.
Yeah.
Why weren't they helping each other out? Except for Roger that was helping Aaron out. That was it. Like nobody seemed to be like, you know, getting together to actually like, I see this person is in some sort of trouble. We need to be there for them, you know?
Yeah. It felt very like isolating. And I think mm-hmm. part of it felt like, and again, this is just, I'm not sure if this is like what the filmmaker was trying to convey, but it sort of mm-hmm. felt like he was saying very clearly, like, this Magical Negro group is not the way that we should be dealing, you know, with mm-hmm. like our mm-hmm. issues.
Yeah.
And part of the problem with this group, besides like allowing their whole thing to be around massaging white fragility, which is like wild, it's like it keeps you sort of isolated from each other, because like all of the work that you do in this space is around softening up white people, like, so mm-hmm. it doesn't give you the space to actually be in community with each other when that's all you do. So maybe that is part of what the filmmaker was trying to convey. But I think that if the point of this whole movie was to talk about how this was not the approach you should take, we should be fully ourselves, we should be fully vocal, like, about mm-hmm. like the oppression that we are experiencing and like white people's role in our oppression. If that's the point, I feel like one of the things that they could have done that was like powerful was actually having Aaron like build and create a community within this group. And I think seeing how he seems to be disengaged from like Black people. I mean, again, this is only my guess because they showed us nothing about his life.
Yeah, it's an assumption. Yes.
Yeah. He had maybe no real connection to like the Black community outside of the space. This could have been an opportunity to watch him build that community here. And like, again, the movie was just uninterested in doing that.
Yeah.
And I just feel like this movie just couldn't decide if it wanted to be social commentary on like white fragility and Black and violence on Black people, or rom-com. It couldn't decide mm-hmm. which one it actually wanted to be.
Yeah.
So I think it kind of was weak at doing both because it couldn't mm-hmm. commit to one or the other.
Yeah. Yeah. That kind of threw me off in a loop. I was like, wait, is this supposed to be a very important type of commentary that we're trying to convey? Like, why is he over here chasing Nipsey? Like, wait, what is the point of that? And I'm like, all right, well, mm-hmm. but I liked it though.
Yeah, it was cute. It was cute.
It was cute. I like it because they had that. If that would have been a rom-com, just a movie about them two and like that dynamic and stuff, that would have been so cute. Yeah. I would have been totally into that.
Yeah, you know? I agree.
You know?
It could have just been a workplace drama or, rom-com.
Rom-com, yeah. Like where exactly how it happened that the white guy thought that he was setting him up with Lizzie, but it wasn't like that. And the whole misunderstanding, that would have been cute. It would have been, but again, how does that fit into the whole picture, you know? Yeah. That I definitely agree with that.
Yeah.
And then again, that ending just like threw me off a loop.
And it was wild because minutes before that happened, when he sees her getting out of the cab because she just got back from New York, which was honestly pretty hilarious that he just
that
like,
was
left
hilarious.
Her.
That was really cool. That was
what he like
that was
left
funny.
Her on the roof. Like
yes.
Even I remember thinking when he like zipped away from her on the rooftop, I was like, wait, so like he just what is she supposed to do now? And like,
okay.
I love that the movie actually was just like, yeah, you did just leave her in New York City. And I loved when she gets out of the cab and they see each other and then they just kiss each other. And I remember thinking, I understand it's fiction, it's fantasy, whatever. I mean, she seems really readily to accept this, like,
yes.
immediately.
Yes.
I would have lot more questions.
That's why that ending kind of was like, oh, yeah,
of course.
I had to. Subconsciously, I knew because she took it way too calm and cool. I would have been freaking out so bad. Like, excuse me, sir. Hello? Magic? Are you kidding me right now? What?
I mean, okay.
I
mean, all right. Thankfully she's in a good position to just like fly her ass home, I guess. But like,
yeah.
What if she hadn't been able to do that, you know? It was wild. That made me laugh a lot, but I was just like, but when they did the reveal at the end that she was like part of that, like supportive wives and girlfriends,
and
like
girlfriends,
secrets or whatever.
So swag.
Yeah. So swag. I was like, okay. All right. That actually makes more sense.
That makes more
sense. Context of
them. And maybe she even used magic to actually come back to California. She didn't, you know,
yeah.
I don't know. Why wouldn't she? If she's magical too, you know?
I know. Just snap her fingers and she's back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no. I think the premise was, it was there. We understand what they were trying to do with the movie. But it just, I kind of missed the mark.
Yeah.
For a lot, I think, of people, because that after I watched the movie, I started, like, now I went to do the reviews and the comments and stuff, and everybody just kind of agrees the same thing, that it's just, this is not for 2024. This is, like, we're way past that.
Yeah, and it was so interesting because I didn't read a ton of reviews. I did kind of get, like, you know, I did the whole sort of Twitter thing where I was just like, what are people on Twitter kind of generally feeling about this movie? And I had a couple of friends who had watched it who I was curious, like, what their thoughts were that had actually made some – had given some thoughts on social media I avoided looking at until mm-hmm. after I saw the movie because I didn't want mm-hmm. that influencing me.
Yeah.
And I will say that I noticed that the one review that I read that was just like a glowing review of this movie was by a white man. You know, I read the entire review before I looked up this person. I was like, you know what? I feel like I know who wrote this, but like, let that be out of my mind for a moment as I read mm-hmm. this. But yeah, so like, I do sort of wonder if there are people who are going to watch this movie where this is going to like resonate in a different way. And again, this is why I say, like, I do sort of feel like this movie is very specifically geared for white people in particular, because like, I cannot, I mean, every black and, you know, BIPOC person I was seeing talk about this movie was just like, well,
I mean, that's exactly. That's why I said before, like, the movie kind of made it more palpable for the white audience. That's, I think that's, that's why they're more comfortable or more like, you know, they more like, it was more likable to them.
Yeah.
Cause it was speaking really to them in that way. It wasn't speaking to us because we already know, or the black community already knows what you're going through, what you have to deal with, what you have to do.
Absolutely. You know?
So they weren't telling anything new to the black community.
Correct.
Or to, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the other thing that I kept thinking about as I was watching this movie is, you know, interactions with white people that can be harmful aren't always that in your face. They're not always that like extreme, you know?
Yeah.
And I think like this movie went out of its way to make all of the interactions that he was having with white people so extreme. Like every white person was so full.
And like over the top.
Over the top. To the point in which, like, if you are a white person watching this movie and you do these kind of smaller microaggressions,
it's like
it's really easy to look at this movie and be like, that's not me.
Oh, but that's not me. Yes.
You know what I mean? Like that.
I don't do that. Yeah, I don't like that.
So like I'm good because I'm not doing that. You know what I mean? Like that's the problem of making the harm from white people just seem so like over the top and extreme. People think he's a waiter. Like people are threatening to beat him up. You know what I mean? Like not everything's like that all the time. It can be, don't get me wrong, it can be, but like that's not what it's like in terms of kind of the day-to-day experience of like a white person or of a black person in white society all the time. It's like the microaggressions that like I think can be hard to deal with. It's like the microaggressions that you experience at work when there's like power structures and things like that, you know? I think it would have been more interesting if they had made the character of Jason. If they had made the character of Jason a little more, I don't know, less aggressive, maybe even somewhat likable. Like if they had made Jason kind of like a more likable character where like every once in a while he says like a microaggression or like whatever. You know, but they made him such an over the top racist.
Yes.
That like, oh my God, there was no nuance there. And that could have been so much of a more interesting conversation of like, how do you handle it when you kind of feel like you're friendly with this person, but like kind of sometimes they say like off color things, but like, it's not so terrible. Like, it's like, you're kind of being gaslit a little bit, you know, like maybe it's not that bad, you know, like to me, I feel like that's more of like the nuanced conversation that should have been happening if you were really going to have it center on like the white, like fragility part of things. And it was going to center whiteness in this way. That's the thing that really would have challenged white people more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like the aggressive part of, you know, of the dangers that the black community face, we already know this. Everybody already knows this. It's already been in your, in our faces and everything. What the new thing that we have to do is now is like, you know, all these people that are like, nah, I'm socially conscious. And I know that I have to be, but then those same people come with the little microaggressions, like you said. Yeah. That's what we have to deal with now. Yep. The person that say that they're an ally, but they still have those little things that like, wait, what did you say? Like, that was kind of like borderline crossing the line there.
Yeah.
But he's an ally, so I don't know if that's what they meant.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we're, what we have, like, you know, the Black and the BIPOC community have to deal with now.
Yeah.
Because we already know about the aggressive part, about the dangers of with the police and, you know, and, yep. and, you know, and all that stuff. That's in your face. But like you said, those little things are not so in your face.
Yeah.
And people don't tend to like realize that that's happening.
Yeah, exactly. And people don't understand how they do those things. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it happens in all of the spaces. It happens in like, it even happens in social justice spaces, mm-hmm. you know? It happens everywhere. So like, mm-hmm. I just think that this movie just wasn't really challenging anybody, wasn't really giving any consequences to anyone at the end. Even at the end with sort of like the magical Negro group, it was just like their magic was fading, I guess. But it was just mm-hmm. sort of like, but we're still going to figure it out and be together and it's going to be fine. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah. So what was the point? Like, the institution still exists. No white people had any consequences. He kind of gets the girl at the end, but then it kind of turns out that she's sort of like just doing her job by being with him. So I was like, what was the point of this movie?
Well, okay. Oh my God, I just realized something, because we're talking about how they didn't really show the sense of community. Like, was the sense of community where if one person didn't do their job, then everybody lost their magic? Was that the community part?
Which is wild. What?
So the only time the community works is when they're centering, when they're trying to do something good for white people. Oh my God. I just realized that right now. I was like, oh my God.
And it bothers me that the consequence is like these black people losing this like magical element, you know? Like, I feel like there could have been, I just keep going back to, there could have been a story where Aaron's point was changing the space from within so they could use mm-hmm. their magic in different ways. I don't like that the consequences, all of these black people who have been harmed and traumatized and finally have like a way to like protect themselves, instead of using that magic in a way that like truly like centered them and like where they mm-hmm. could have been caring for each other, their magic just like dissipates. If they do anything to not center white people, their magic goes away. I was like, mm-hmm. I don't like that.
oh my God, that was like a mess for me. I was like, what is going on?
I did not love it. And like another thing, now that we're kind of talking about sort of microaggression, I'm kind of going back to the microaggression thing, because like mm-hmm, something mm-hmm. else just popped into my mind. So that point in the story where Aaron, Jason, and Lizzie all go to like that happy hour together, right? Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. that's sort of maybe, I mean, Jason is annoying before this happy hour, but like that's the point in the movie where you start to realize like, oh, he's like a racist, you know, like mm-hmm. they were making it very obvious to me. I don't even remember actually what he said to Aaron, like that was so awful. Like, I feel like I need to go look that up again, but like he said something mm-hmm. to Aaron that was like, I think they were going for microaggression, but it felt very macro, it felt very aggressive,
very direct.
Yeah, yeah, very direct. But anyways, mm-hmm. Lizzie sort of just sat there and didn't really do anything about it. And then when they were in the cab going home and it was just her and Aaron, she sort of apologizes to him for like not speaking up.
For not saying anything.
And mm-hmm. he sort of starts to be like, oh, it's okay. And, you know, thank you for saying that or whatever. And he like thanks her at some point. And she says, oh, well, I mean, I didn't really actually do anything. And like, they treated it like it was like a joke that she didn't speak up for him. And I kept thinking the movie was going to go back to that at some point, that at some point somebody was going to do something or say something to Aaron and she was going to step up and be like, you are not going to talk to this person like this or whatever. And like, it just never happened. And I was just like,
because she was also supposed to learn something,
you know,
in my opinion.
Yeah, and I'm realizing
it's growth. Yeah. I'm like, where's the growth, you know?
I know. Like, it just kept bothering me. Because, yeah, she was also having her own experience of, like, having harm in the workplace, a very similar experience to Aaron. So like it bothered me that there was like never really a point, especially when Aaron just kept taking every opportunity he had when he was with Jason to stick up for her, to talk about how talented she was, to talk about how she deserved the same opportunities. And we never saw that energy from her. And, like, I was just like, this is, like, really not feeling great. And, like, the only thing that we get is the day after the happy hour, Jason and Aaron are having a conversation. And at some point, Jason was just like, oh, yeah, Lizzie got really mad at me earlier about, like, what I said to you, but you weren't bothered by it, right? And, you know, like that whole thing. And then Aaron was just like, oh, yeah, it's fine. You know, doing this whole mealy mouth thing that was driving me crazy that whole movie. but we never actually see Jason and Lizzie have that conversation. And I want to say this movie was only like, what, an hour and a half? Like, listen, I'm not saying that I want every movie to be 2 hours, 2.5 hours, 3 hours. Frankly, I think movies are getting out of hand. Like, we need to like start shortening some of the lengths of the movies and not making movie longer for no reason. But this movie could have added another 30 minutes to actually do some of these things, to actually see some of that these work. Interactions like between Jason and Lizzie. Because like, we never even get the sense of like, does Lizzie even like Jason at all? Because like, we only mostly see the perspective of their relationship through Jason's eyes. So I was just like, are they even friends? Because like, I'm not sure if this is all imagined in his mind and she's just being polite or something.
I think the biggest thing we saw between them was that conversation that they had in the park. Which was of quite a chunk. It was kind of lengthy. They were just having a full-on conversation the whole time. I was like, but what were they talking? See, it wasn't even that much of the, I don't even remember what they talked about. Were they talking about them having feelings or were they talking about their lives? What was that conversation
about? So like they walk to the park because it was just like, she just found out that she lost that project or whatever. And she was feeling very sad. And so they're walking. Oh, and this really changes the whole context of that conversation now that we're talking about it, because I'm like, so this was like a time when she was actually like getting supported. And I'm realizing she just kept pushing Aaron to like share with her. And I'm realizing like, was she just doing that because of her job? Anyway.
Oh my God, you're right. That's so right. Because now I know. Yeah,
it changes the whole context of the relationship. It's so weird. Anyway, weird thing for them to do. Anyway, but in the context of that conversation,
I just realized that now. Thank you.
I know. It's so like it changes all of their conversations for me. But like,
yeah, it does.
But at one point, he talks about how he's an artist and she says that she wants to see his art. And he shows her pictures of like his yarn sculptures, which by the way, we never see. They never even show us the photos.
I thought we were going to get that too. Like more of like, okay, he grew like that coming out of his shell, and now we're going to see this. Yeah. It's displayed in his art.
Something.
I was like, where is it?
When he stayed up all night working on like a yarn project, I thought that we were going to see this like really beautiful, amazing piece of art. And he just made a sweater. I was like, what is happening? What is this movie? But yeah, they didn't really talk about anything deep. Like she mentioned how she's racially ambiguous at some point.
Okay.
But she doesn't actually say in what way, which is weird mm-hmm. to me. Not like yeah, I'm saying yeah. that she needs to like display like who she is, like. And like to me, it felt pretty obvious that she was like white and Asian in some capacity or whatever. But
yeah,
like,
yeah.
it's weird that like she talks about being racially ambiguous. Like he talks about like how nobody really gets his art, and like he kind of starts to describe his art, but like in a mm-hmm. very like he doesn't even seem that like emotionally invested in his like art yeah. in a way that I was yeah. like expecting him to be. Yeah. It was just like, there was nothing. They have good screen chemistry together. They have chemistry yeah, together yeah, yeah. just no, as two did. People. But like, mm-hmm. I just, you never get to understand like, why are they interested in each other? What is their shared experience beyond being two biracial people like mm-hmm. who yeah. get like shit on at work, you know, like beyond yeah. that, like what is the thing that is connecting them in the story? And yeah. there just isn't, and I was expecting that conversation to give us some of that, but it was just mm-hmm. like a lot more of Aaron just being very like closed in. And I understand the whole point of Aaron was to highlight how closed off he is mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. he can like come out, you know, and we can see that transformation at the end. But I have to tell you, I cannot remember the last time I felt this like frustrated and irritated, like watching somebody on screen just like not be able to interact with the world at all. I was like, and I get yeah. it was coming from a place of trauma, but like every conversation he was in, every interaction he had with somebody, I was like, this is stressful to watch.
Because he was just yeah. like stressed about everything. It was just always about, I'm stressed. I can't do, like, you could feel it at every single moment in time with him.
Yeah, with like, everyone he interacted with. mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 But alas, it was a movie.
Yeah.
it was a movie.
It was in fact a movie that was made.
What are your final thoughts, like, you know, just yeah. to close it out, like
let's see, I'm trying to see if I tackled everything. Well, you know what, I feel like I haven't really talked at all about David Alan Grier, so like I will
yeah
let me just say oh, like yeah. some like one thing about him, I think, to kind of like wrap up sort of generally how I feel about this movie. I think that he was a character that was deeply underused and underutilized in the ways that he could have been, in particular mm-hmm. like especially as somebody who has a lot of family rooted in the American South.
Yeah.
A lot of Black family rooted in the American South. The story that David Alan Grier was saying about his own father and being a shoeshine and having like this mm-hmm. really awful white piece of shit dude spit yeah. on him and, you know, that sort of thing. You know, yeah. I have like a lot of those kinds of stories, you know, in my mm-hmm. family. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that is at all just like a Southern Black thing. But I will just say that like there is just a very specific animosity that still exists in like the American South that is like more pervasive in some ways. So like you yeah. do hear a lot of those kinds of stories even like today. And so I think that it was like it was a really important moment in that in the context of like showing how like violence appears in different ways between like white and black people and these like different types of power structures, and mm-hmm. how keeping white people calm is like a mechanism for safety. I feel like yeah. that story did a really good job of showing it. I feel like David Alan Greer did such an incredible job in like really embodying that and mm-hmm. how that like mm-hmm. has affected him his whole life. And yeah. the movie wasn't interested in doing anything with that, like beyond yeah. that conversation. And I
just
think
the conversation. Yeah.
I think ultimately that's the problem with this movie. It shows snapshots and moments through like the Black experience without actually like having anything to say about it at the end of mm-hmm. the day.
They don't elaborate more. It was just, oh, this is it. And then we move on to the next.
And then we move on to the next. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's like, mm-hmm. I felt very, after hearing that story, I felt very invested. Like, where does his story go from here? And we don't get any of that at the end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think like my final thoughts is just, I wish that this movie had been a little bit more committed to a point of view. And, you know, I think that maybe this is like this filmmaker at Kobe Libby. I think that this may be his first like feature film project. And
okay.
I am hopeful that he will see some of the criticism that this movie is receiving and like mm-hmm. maybe don't internalize it, but be like, hey, I could approach this a different way next time. You know?
Yes.
That's what I am hopeful yes. for, because I want to see Black people succeed. You know?
Of course. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But yeah, but this movie, yeah, as a one and done, I will not be revisiting it.
It's like, we saw it and, you know, and it was there. And it happened. Oh my gosh. All right. So this is going to wrap up this episode of Temple of Geek Podcast. We want to thank you, Natasha, yeah. for being here with us, and to everyone who tuned in today, and especially, yeah, our guest. Yeah, you were amazing. Thank you so much yeah. for being here.
Anytime.
Thank you. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to hit us up on Facebook or Twitter by using the handle Temple of Geek. Do you want to check out some of the other episodes or shows? Why don't you head over to templeofgeek.com, where you will find all sorts of content that pertain to the world of geek. Again, Natasha, thank you so much for being yeah. here. And just tell us again where everybody can find you and your handles.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter, probably talking a lot about Star Wars and The Acolyte over the next couple of months, and probably Star Wars Night and May the 4th. And oh my God, this is such a big year for Star Wars, actually. But you can find me on Twitter under NKNAPPER and Napper. And yeah. That's about it.
Awesome. All right, guys. Thank you again to everyone, and we'll see you next time.